Welcome to Light Being Found. My love Jason was in the U.S. Army. 20 days after I found him, I started documenting my journey through video and audio recordings. Join me as I share my journey as a suicide loss survivor, from struggling to find the light to light being found. Hello, loves. Welcome back. This is season one, episode 7. Thank you for joining me today. So in today's episode, in the video that I'm going to share with you, again, I'm stuck. You can just see that I'm getting stuck in memories and losing my train of thought as well. In addition to that, I'm bringing up food. And for me, now observing these videos, I'm really realizing, even though I understood to a certain extent that there's secondary loss that's taken place when you go through a loss like this. And so the secondary loss is so many different things, and it actually can have layers upon layers upon layers. And all within those layers, you're mourning each layer in addition to the event that cascaded the secondary loss layers. For example, we were going to make babies together. And for me, that was a secondary loss. I mourned the children that we did not have. And that also goes on to so many other different facets of planning life in a partnership and what the many years to come looked like and what those conversations entailed. And we wanted to get a barn and rehab it and have that be our homestead. You know, so many different things. So a lot of those things are secondary loss. It can also come in a different way that's not necessarily having to do directly with the interaction that I had with him, but is in a way of like your circle of friends. A lot of people feel like they don't have community when they go through this, and a lot of people's friendships change in navigating their grieving. And that also is another layer into the secondary loss. So when I'm sitting and watching these videos, I'm starting to hear an echo that I didn't realize at the time when I was going through all the motions, that I was mourning the habitual part of our lives that entailed a lot of time that we spent together creating dishes in the kitchen. He was doing most of it. I was just his sous chef. But there's a lot that I am going through emotionally, and I keep echoing it in my videos where I'm like, I'm just stuck in the kitchen, and I it's like I'm frozen, but sobbing and just stuck there. And so I touch on that as well. And then also I mentioned that I've had suicidal friends before, and I'm working through that and how I definitely feel that it was I was treading on waters that I had no clue about. I never thought that suicide would affect me in this manner. So I understood how to show up for suicidal friends. But now this has taken to a whole new level for me, and I am beside myself. So with that, let's get to the video. All right, so it is Wednesday, June 3rd, 6:13 p.m. I got on here because there's a lot of things that I'm preparing to do for the last time, for quite a while anyways. And one of them is jackfruit. I used to get jackfruit,
When it's in season the last few years. So really, it's this really delicious fruit. And the way to describe it is it could taste like juicy fruit, the gum. It has just like this jackfruit smelled so good. Anyways, it used to be something that we did, but it's kind of like a process because it's big. And so you got to pick it out, get it cut in half, and then when we do it, it's kind of like an event. So we get the oil, we get the cutting board plastic things. We get the knives out. And then we just BS and get the fruit out, separated from the seeds and that inner shell. And yeah. A lot of stuff like that. Lychee, rambutans, everything and everywhere I ate. And I eat Ethiopian. I don't see making that. I don't see making that again. And we used to have like a whole song and dance in the kitchen for the days that we would cook Ethiopian. It's like, I'm not. It just like, I'm not gonna do that again. And it's okay. It's okay. I get that it's supposed to be like that for that time in my life. It's just like the I'm caving in to make room for all the pain. That I have to get through in order to get to like the next step. It's so ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure this is documented somewhere. I really didn't think I could quite understand how suicide would ever affect me personally. Although I've had loved ones that have been suicidal, but I think that the difference for me with them is that they have told me that they indeed were feeling suicidal. And so then your plan of action is different. And it's just pretty wild to think that he is gone. Even though it's been for days, and that he's not gonna call. And he's not gonna open the door and come in. Sometimes doesn't seem real, even though weeks have gone by, you know? Oh. Know that, like, we're given what we can handle and that what we endure and go through makes us stronger. I just hope that I just hope that I can flow this in a way that I can understand, like, how to be helpful. In a way that I can understand how to be helpful. It really is. A lot of downs, a lot of varying downs. I guess I can quit recording because I just keep daydreaming. So, I shall be back. I understand that everything happens for a reason. I think that someone, when they leave and we mourn them, it's about our sadness and our loss. I just think, like, the shock of it all, has been a process. And that, that when I get through that, I don't even know what I'm saying. Wow. All right, I'm out of here. And I'll be back to babble about whatever that was about again. All right, bye.
All right, we're back. One of the things that I said that almost cracked me up, I was like, well, it's a little dramatic. So I said, there's things that I would never do again. Luckily, I put in there, well, at least not for a while, which I took a little bit of the dramatic part of that away, which felt good because these are still things that I enjoy. And so I had to go through a process where I separated the attachment that I had to the experience that I was having when we were together and not allowing that experience of the sadness of not having that any longer be what I related to the act of whatever it is that I'm talking about. So I think I might have mentioned jackfruit in here. I think so. But I know a big one for me was Ethiopian. So I have dear friends that are Ethiopian and they shared a kitfo. Jason loves steak tartare. And I was like, oh my gosh, he would love this kitfo dish. And I had it while he was on tour. So I was like, I can't wait for you to get back so you can have this kitfo. And we had Ethiopian, just had everything. And he absolutely fell in love with it as well. So we went to all the different restaurants, and then we also took a class and we just started cooking our own Ethiopian. And it would be a whole event. It just takes so much time and love. There's a lot of stews and they're, going all day long, and there's just a lot that goes into making Ethiopian food. So when we did, we would do it for a weekend and make a lot of it. It freezes really well, and freeze it. So it was really a place of contentment for me, where I was stuck, and I wanted to have that experience of all of that love, and then also like the comfort of the food all together. That was something that we totally loved. Ethiopian became super comfort food for us, and also the tradition of us making it. I wanted to break through the barrier I was creating for myself to where I could have a weekend and cook all of these foods that were amazing and reflect back on our memories making them and have them bring me joy. So it definitely had a lot to do with reframing how the story I was telling myself, which the words that you say to yourself is so important. And the spin that you put on things for your own perspective, like that shapes your world and your reality. And so the words are thoughts, and the thoughts are emotions, and the emotions are energy, and the energy is your being. So that really is really important. That's why on some of these, I wrap up what I'm saying with concluding, please be gentle to the words that you say to yourself because you are listening. And also, depending on where you're at in your journey, like I again didn't have the foresight to even be able to unwrap a lot of this in the way I can now when I was going through it, especially in the first several weeks of shock. And then when I opened it up to months, I was in panic. So it's the first several months I was out of my gourd. I just have no idea how people were working after they went through something like this. I have no clue. I was barely functioning, I felt. And it might look different to others on what people think functioning is and how it looks. But to me, I understood internally that I was not okay and that I had the inability to be in any type of flow. And I felt like I could not function. And it's, everyone's journey is different. And also, when people navigate this space and place within their journey, it doesn't have to be right after they lost their loved one. It could be years down the road. Sometimes people go through a process where they're a father, a mother, they have little ones at home, they're working full time, that there's all these things that call for their attention that they have to show up for to keep the well-oiled machine going. So when they are able to unpack and open up their mourning and grieving, there's no timeline. It could be whenever. So that's something to keep in mind as well. We are all so very different, and there's no right or wrong way to grieve or mourn. And there's no way that this, looks like for everyone. But there is a thread that goes through the journey of grieving and mourning someone and recovering from trauma that's something that we all can understand and relate to with one another. So let's see. Oh, there's something that I said in this as well that I really feel like captures the depth so well of what this leg of my journey was like. And I said, I'm concaving in to make room for all of the pain. And that was literally what it felt like. It felt like there was so much pain that it was bigger than me, but it was so part of me. It was no way outside of me. It was so part of me, and that there was no room for it. Like there was, I was over brimming, and so like concaving in. You can think of like just the sheer discomfort of that type of a thought physically to have to make room for the pain because it's there. It has to go somewhere, and that was really how I felt in this part of my journey. Also, there's something else too. In the video, I start talking about his voice, and it's interesting to watch me. I start self-soothing. So you could see I start rubbing my shoulder, and I start like but I'm longing for him, and so that's interesting for me, observing the video to watch as well. And then I think that's everything wrapped up for the video, but let's get to the story I'm going to share for today. All right, so here's today's story. The side of his face, I absolutely loved it because it looked like a, like the Fibonacci sequence. You could see the spiraling and the way his hair grew right here. I had a super intimate relationship with his face because every time after he shaved, he'd get ingrown hairs. So it would be a labor of love to hop on top of him and have the tweezers in the light and just start getting all those ingrown hairs out. So I would comment to him about this little swirly over on the right side of his face all the time. I just absolutely loved it and adored it. But it says his hair on this side of his cheek would always grow in a spiral. I loved it. He wanted to check out the whites of his eyes. Goofy ass. For a long time, he thought people could bleach them white to brighten them, or he was messing with me. Each time he would talk to me about it a lot, and I never knew if he was joking with me or not. But yeah, I still don't think that there's something to bleach your eyes, but we're like in such a superficial world that maybe there is, and I just didn't come across it. And then also, I have this thing where I love saying, if you could be an animal, what animal would you want to be, or a mammal? And this was like right after I met him. He said I would be a silverback gorilla, and so this was like a theme in our relationship that he would say it often, and it was just super cute, made me smile all the time. And let's get on to today's quote. It's another Rumi quote, and it says, "Be crumbled so wildflowers will come up where you are. You have been stony for too many years. Try something different. Surrender." It's part of a longer poem, and it's found in The Light of Dying Stars. I'd probably might enjoy that. I should check it out. But part of why this resonated with me is because in and through my journey, there was a resistance, and that largely had to do with the panic. So I learned so much about myself and healing and other traumas that I had as well in surrendering to that. And it really took me a long time to get to that place of surrender because I was trying to control the panic. And also because I was upset at the panic, I felt like it was taken away from my grieving. So it took me quite a process to go through to realize that it was my grieving and then to embrace it. And again, there's this dance that you do when there's a level of acceptance within your soul of understanding what your being is going through and growing through. And so the surrender was a big part of it for me. Not necessarily that I'd been stony for too many years, in a sense, but in a sense, it was that I know I shared with you when I had my little man here that, he'd never seen me in a state where I was not composed. And so I think I view this part of the poem kind of like that, where there's just this utter beauty to just your sheer existence of whatever it is at whatever moment and however it's coming up and out through an acceptance that is just complete beauty. And it doesn't come with being composed. It comes with being vulnerably yourself and whatever that is that's happening. And for me, it took this experience in my journey to just feel like I was shattered into a million pieces to get me to a place where I just completely surrendered. And for me, I feel like that's just an awakening in my soul to where I got to what true beauty is, and that I embody that as well. So those of you that are going through a place where you're also in your journey and still trying to control the outlook of it, the dynamics of it, what it looks like, the expectation of it, and then in turn you're also beating yourself up, I assume, because I sure was, to know that there is such brightness and so much self-love and going through that journey of surrendering. And for me, there was also a lot of more deep healing and further understanding of my entire life's journey here. And yeah, so that's what this little part means for me. Yeah. Also, I wanted to touch on the book that I am sharing. I made a video and it's on my YouTube channel. You can find it at Light Being Found. It's a celebration and a tribute of our love. And it's to a song by Danny and Lizzie. You might already be familiar with it. It is called Dancing in the Sky. He had a really good friend that reached out to me after he left and months later, and she came across this song and sent it to me with like a cute message, and I just started sobbing. It's an absolutely beautiful song though. It reminds me of him a lot because, as I shared, I absolutely loved his voice. And so there's a line in there about singing in the angels' choir, which just fills me. And then also dancing, he would always do this silly ass weird dance and it would crack me up every time. And so when I hear this song, I have these visions of him doing this dance. I swear it was literally just to make me smile. And I have all these visions of it. Just, yeah, it fills me up with happiness. So if you want to check that out, it's called Tribute and Celebration of Our Love, and you can find that video at Light Being Found. And then if anything from today's episode, including the story and the quote that I shared, really resonated with you, touched your heart, brought up something within yourself that you want to share, please head over to YouTube or Instagram at Light Being Found and share in the comments. All right, wherever you're at in your journey, I'm sending you a lot of love and a lot of light and a lot of healing and a lot of being gentle with yourself. Yeah, I'm giving you these a big, amazing JAM hugs, and I'm wishing you well, all my love.